Hi everyone, it's Mrs. Best, and this is Chapter 11, Eyes on the Johnsons, Not the Paper Towels. Turns out, I didn't have to make the next move. Dad made it for me. It was a bold and decisive move. It was the move that changed everything. That afternoon, he took me and Benny grocery shopping. Shopping is a pretty easy chore since my family only eats about 9 different things, like potatoes, chard, jicama, brown rice, and goat's milk. We'd already loaded the cart with asparagus and evaporated milk, and Dad was loading 6 jars of green olives into the cart when he froze. He looked over my shoulder toward the freezer section. I turned around and saw Juanita Johnson and her father. When a supervillain stares down a superhero, you might expect there to be a lot of fighting or shouting right from the beginning. But that's not how it goes. At least, not when the supers aren't in costume. They can't trade insults, because that would give away their secret identities. Dad stared at Juanita's father, and Juanita's father stared back at Dad. The silence became uncomfortable. Dad finally spoke, his voice cold. "Hello, Caesar."
"Hello, William,"
the Johnson replied, matching Dad's tone. I'd never met Juanita's father, but Dad was apparently on a first-name basis with him. While the two adults traded glares, I looked at Juanita. She rolled her eyes. Dad spoke quietly, so only Benny and I could hear. "Let's walk away slowly, boys, but don't break eye contact. You never break eye contact with a villain. It's a sign of weakness." "I think that's for when you're dealing with wild animals," I said, but Dad ignored me. He pushed the cart carefully, twisting around so he could watch Juanita and her father. One of the wheels on Dad's cart made a squeaking sound with every rotation. "Dad?" Benny said. "You're headed straight for the paper towel display."
"Eyes on the Johnsons," Dad said. "Not the paper towels."
True to his own advice, Dad never took his eyes off the Johnsons. His cart hit the tall tower of paper towels, which fell to the floor with a fluffy crash. He scrambled to build the paper towels back into a tower, but he kept one eye on the Johnsons, who were walking in the other direction, and the tower kept falling over. The Johnsons disappeared around the corner, and Dad gave up on the tower. He kicked the pile, and the paper towels went flying in all directions. Dad bent over and looked at Benny and me.
"The Johnsons are up to no good. We've got to figure out what they're planning."
Dad left our cart and walked quickly down the pet food aisle. Benny followed. I brought up the rear. When we got to the back of the store, the Johnsons were gone.
"This isn't good," Dad said.
"Benny, call Grandpa and tell him what's going on. I've got to go change." Benny pulled out his phone and tapped the screen.
"Where are you going?"
Benny asked me.
"I need to talk to Juanita."
"You can't talk to her," Benny whispered. "If Dad catches you, you'll be grounded for a year."
"Stay here," I told Benny. "Keep an eye out for Dad."
I walked slowly down the back of the store, looking down each aisle. I found her standing by the cold cereal. Our eyes met. She looked behind her and then back to me. She hadn't tried to run, and she didn't look afraid. But she also didn't make a move to communicate. Iron resolve, ferocious courage, and a healthy dose of insanity. Benny and I used to stay up late at night when we were younger, coming up with insults we would hurl at the Johnsons during the heat of battle. But here I was, about to have a civilized conversation with a supervillain. I walked towards Juanita.
"Hello,"
I said.
"Hello,"
Juanita replied. I'm usually pretty good at reading people, but her face told me nothing.
"You never told us what your power was yesterday."
Juanita shrugged.
"Maybe I didn't want to."
"We told you ours. It's only fair that..."
"Nothing's fair when you're dealing with supervillains," Juanita said.
"Ha," I said, then lowered my voice. We were alone in the aisle, but I didn't want anybody overhearing.
"So, you admit it? You're a supervillain?"
Juanita shook her head. No, I don't have to play fair because you are the supervillain. If you're dumb enough to tell me your power, that doesn't mean I have to turn around and tell you mine. My face grew warm. So you're still going to try to tell me that my family are the supervillains? Look, it's not that hard, Juanita said. We both have worthless powers. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. The tactics side of my brain flickered. Juanita had discovered that Benny and I had worthless powers. Now she wanted us to leave her alone so that she could do what? Benny and I are sworn protectors of the city. It sounded a little corny when I said it, but I kept talking. We're not going to just sit back and let you carry out some crazy scheme. Juanita rolled her eyes, then pointed. I think your brother wants to talk to you. I turned around. Benny motioned for me to come to him. He looked desperate. There were a million questions I wanted to ask Juanita. I put my hand in my pocket and pulled out the slip of paper with my phone number. I handed it to Juanita. She took it, but her face was like stone. I walked toward Benny. He grabbed me by the arm and pulled me around the corner. Juanita's dad is heading this way, he said. I peeked back into the aisle. Juanita was gone. Benny and I walked across the front of the store and spotted Mr. Johnson, dressed in his super suit, scanning the produce section. Citizen! Caesar's voice exploded through the store as he pointed at one of the shoppers. Everybody picking through fruits and vegetables stopped and looked at the supervillain. What have you got in your hands? The shopper stared at Juanita's dad, his mouth hanging open. He held a kiwi in one hand and a plastic bag in the other. Caesar strode toward the man, who looked quite nervous. Up to no good, are we? Said the man. No, sir. I'm just buying some fruit. A kiwi. He held up the furry brown fruit in an effort to prove his point. You look a little shady to me, Caesar said. I'm not shady, said the man. He looked hurt. I promise, I'm very unshady. Caesar walked around the man, looking him up and down. Look at those clothes. A bit on the dingy side, aren't they? And that beard, very scruffy. And what about that hat? That's a shifty hat, if I ever saw one. My mother knitted me this hat, the man said, for my birthday. Juanita's dad leaned over and squinted at the hat. Your mother's a shifty knitter. A second booming, authoritative voice boomed. What have we here? Dad entered the produce section, standing in his supersuit. He looked heroic, as always. I had a funny mental image of Dad and Mr. Johnson changing into their supersuits in neighboring bathroom stalls. Shoppers, Dad said, I suggest you leave quickly before this villain does you harm. There's no need to panic. Well, maybe a little need to panic. That was all the shoppers needed. They left carts behind and headed for the door. The man with the kiwi looked especially glad that Dad had shown up. Come on, Benny, I said, tugging at my brother's shirt. Let's go wait in the car. But Dad might need our help, Benny said. We don't have any powers, I reminded Benny, although I suspected that wouldn't stop Benny from trying. Besides, we also don't have our supersuits. We'd blow our cover. Benny scowled, but followed me as I turned to leave. I heard Dad and Caesar begin the verbal sparring behind me. Watch it, Buster, Dad said, or I'll be forced to engage you in a physical confrontation. Confront away. You are no match for my thunder-quick reflexes. Do you mean lightning-quick? You need to work on your metaphors, villain. I mean exactly what I say. My reflexes are better than lightning. Lightning is just a flash of light. My reflexes are more like a crushing wave of thunder. So your reflexes kick in 5 to 10 seconds after they are actually needed? Now that you mention it, you do have thunder-quick reflexes. Hey, now! Grandpa is sending a team, Benny said when we got to the door. They should be here soon. We left the store and climbed into our car. A few minutes later, a stream of water poured out of the front doors.
I think Juanita's dad has the ability to make it rain, I said.
Even all those paper towels aren't going to be able to soak up this mess, Benny said. People drove their cars out of the parking lot. I noticed a Volkswagen Beetle pulling into the parking lot. The car was green and rusted, and the license plate read, "You ate a bug." Three Johnsons, it looked like a mom, a dad, and their teenage son, stepped out of the car. They were dressed in super suits.
"Uh-oh," Benny said. "That makes it Dad against an entire team of Johnsons."
The three Johnsons entered the store. I'd seen Dad in battles dozens of times, and he'd never gotten hurt. Still, I felt a pinch of fear. The automatic doors to the store opened. For a moment, nothing happened. But then a 6-foot ball of ice came flying through the opening, slamming against the Volkswagen. I saw movement in the back of the car. Juanita was in there, shaking her head as if a gigantic ice ball was a mere annoyance. Four Johnsons came strutting out of the store like cowboys from an old Western saloon.
"Is that Dad in the ice?"
Benny asked. I could see our family colors reflecting from inside the frozen water.
"Looks like it," I said.
Juanita got out of the car and moved farther away from the store. I didn't have time to think. I opened the back door of our car.
"Juanita," I called, "over here."
"What are you doing?"
Benny whispered.
"Trying to find out the truth," I said.
Juanita looked over her shoulder and then ran to our car, got in, and closed the door. The block of ice that was Dad slowly flew into the air. He went up about 10 feet and then came crashing back to the asphalt parking lot. The ice shattered and Dad came rolling out on top. He stood up and put his hands on his hips.
"Everybody's always telling me how cool I am."
I groaned and Juanita stifled a laugh. I was starting to wonder if I'd inherited poor comebacks from Dad. The teenage Johnson flipped his wrist and thin ropes came shooting out of his palm. He cracked the ropes like whips and stepped forward. He slung one of the ropes and it wrapped around Dad's legs.
"Gotcha," the boy said.
"Yes," Dad grinned. "Yes, you do. Now let's see if you can keep me."
With that, he sprang into the air, hauling the Johnson behind him. The Johnson teen screamed loud and long all the way up. Juanita watched the action out the window, but didn't seem all that interested.
"What were you doing at the store today?"
I asked.
I doubted she'd tell me, but maybe I could trap her in a lie.
Juanita looked at me.
"The same thing you were doing," she said.
"Shopping."
"For what?"
I asked. "For groceries? It's a grocery store.
Do you want me to go get our list?"
It was harder to trap somebody in a lie than I thought.
"What about you?"
she asked. If anybody was acting suspicious, it was you, Bailey's. She cracked open her door, spit, and closed it again. Nobody buys that much evaporated milk and asparagus.
"It's part of the superhero diet," Benny explained.
"Mom makes this really good asparagus casserole. Sometimes she puts cornflakes on top and..."
"And the point is," I interrupted, "we were doing the same thing. Grocery shopping."
Benny pointed out the window.
"Here comes the cavalry."
A minivan came skidding to a halt in front of the store. Uncle Ralph and Aunt Carol climbed out, followed closely by Jesse.
"What have we here?" the voice came from next to the minivan.
"Who said that?" Juanita asked.
"That's my Aunt Verna," Benny said. "She's invisible." I watched out the front windshield as the three Johnsons standing by the store each jumped as if somebody had whacked them on the back of the head. Then they ran inside. The battle was in full swing now. Dad flew around with the poor Johnson hanging on with his ropes. Dad flew close to the trees, dragging the Johnson through the branches and limbs. The Johnson kept yelling, "Put me down!" But Dad looked like he was having too much fun. Someone had propped the store doors open. Snow and ice were flying out of the store while Jesse's lightning kept flying in.
"Have you guys ever wondered about all of this?"
Juanita asked.
"All of what?"
I asked.
Juanita waved her hand. All of this. The fighting. You guys never win. We never win. Sure, we drive you away sometimes, or you drive us away. But we just keep fighting and fighting.
Superhero code, Benny said, matter-of-factly. We respect all life, even a supervillain's.
Juanita nodded.
Yeah, so do we. I guess that would explain why no one ever gets hurt.
I felt like I was missing something. That something wasn't right. There's no way that our families could be fighting for decades and decades and not realize that the other family thinks they're superheroes too. To my surprise, Juanita nodded. I've been thinking the same thing. It doesn't make sense. She looked out the window again. Behind her, I saw Dad swoop low and drop the hanging Johnson in the top of the tree. It would take him a few minutes to climb down. The Johnson yelled and spit as Dad flew back into the sky. Juanita looked bored, like there wasn't a superhero battle raging just a dozen feet away. It looks like your family has won this round, she said. As the three Johnsons piled back into the Volkswagen, Jesse kept blasting lightning at their feet, and they hopped around trying to keep their knees and legs high in the air. Juanita's dad raced for his car. He tripped once, probably thanks to Aunt Verna, and then scrambled for his keys. I have to go, Juanita said.
Wait,
I said. What is your power? At least tell us that. Juanita looked back at me and then got out of the car. She raced to her vehicle and slipped inside. In another moment, the Johnsons had left, and Dad was shaking hands with Uncle Ralph and patting Jesse on the back. Do you trust her? Benny asked. I didn't know what to think. I think she's up to something. My phone buzzed. I pulled it out of my pocket. I had a text message from an unlisted number. I pressed the button to read the screen. You want to see my power? Get on the 1080 bus tomorrow after school.